All right, good morning. I should say, Baruch Abba, Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hey, it's good to see you all. Are you ready to smile? I have no idea where this is going to go. I've prepared notes. But that means nothing. I put a watch on because I know I have to keep to time, but I have so much to say, I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. But as is my wont, I better start with a funny story. Not involving Alex. I could tell one involving Alex. Do you want to hear it? There was a yes. So Alex and Perry went camping one night. And in the middle of the night, Perry's nudging Alex. Alex, have you noticed anything? And Alex looks up and sees the stars. And he starts to talk about the Pleiades and Orion's belt. No, you fool. Who's nicked our tent? Sorry. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. So is this. So an Illinois man left the snow-filled streets of Chicago to go to Florida. His wife was on a trip, planning to meet him the next day. So when he reached the hotel, he decided to send his wife an email. Just a quick email. But he forgot his wife's email address. So he tried to type it in from memory. How many of you know men? We haven't got good memories for this. Unfortunately, he missed one letter, and his note was directed to an elderly woman whose husband had just passed away the day before. So when the grieving widow opened the email, she took one look at the screen and let out a scream and fell faint on the floor. She just fainted. At that sound, the family rushed in and they read the email. Dearest wife, just checked in. Everything's prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. P.S. It's sure hot down here. Sorry. I can't help it. I get sent these things. So, we've read in Mark chapter 8 and in James about the healing touch of Jesus. And I want to talk briefly about healing. I want to talk about the Jesus that heals, but the Jesus that heals today. Today, we can explore possibly five, if we get there, ways in which God brings healing to our bodies today. Healing is meant to be a normal part of Christian life. You have the power to be a force for healing in your community, in your families, through Jesus' name. In other words, healing was meant to be part of the Christian life. Praying for healing is something that each one of us can do. This is not the sole responsibility of the other minister, some special person. You know, I make it very clear, it's not a, ta-da, let's heal the people, let's do something. That's no better than being a medium. And they charge you 50 quid for the pleasure. We freely receive. We can freely give. free of charge. Wow. If the NHS knew this. While it's true that some people have a gift of healing, God gives us grace to be agents of his healing. Am I making sense so far? How many of you have received a healing touch? You know that God has done something in your life. It's transformational. It changes, you know, your life and your outlook. God is interested in your physical health, your emotional health, your spiritual well-being. The greatest miracle any one of us can experience is salvation. We were dead in our sins. But when we received Jesus, he made us alive in our spirit. That's a resurrection. That's the healing power. It transformed my life. Okay. I've never met a human being who isn't in need of healing. Some physical, others because of deep wounds and scars and traumas. Still others need healing of pain and grief. And those things have physiological effect. I'm not just talking as a preacher, I'm talking as a nurse. I see what high blood pressure does. Where's that rooted? Sometimes in anger and depression, anger turned in. Bones that crumble, Proverbs says, bitterness will rot the bones. There are emotional things that God wants to release us from because they have an effect in our body. Oh, do you know there's over 100 scriptures? I could give you a list, but I didn't want to burden you too much, of how and God's desire to bring healing in our lives. Wow, 100 times. We get excited if he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay. So if God repeats something, he's emphasizing it. We get excited about rejoicing and having joy. That's mentioned in the Bible. Fear not. How many times in the Bible? 365. Why? Because we're forgetful. Every day God is saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't let your heart be troubled. 100 times. God is revealed initially in the Old Testament as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. In scripture, there's talk of the balm of Gilead. It's a healing touch. When Jesus commissioned us to preach the gospel, he said, preach the gospel, the good news, and heal the sick. Wow. It's a challenge, isn't it? How many of us have prayed for sick people and seen them healed? How many of us have prayed for people and seen them die? Yeah, that makes you all want to come and be prayed for by me. But I'll get to that. I will offer the opportunity after the service on the front row, and I will pray for anybody who would require prayer for healing. But I will not promise what happens because I don't know. All I'm asked to do is pray. Does that make sense? So first of all, we see in Scripture here that Jesus, when he touched people, people got healed instantly. But in this passage in Mark, there was a process. So sometimes, first thing is people are healed instantly. Secondly, sometimes healing takes a process of time. By the way, I'm not about to spit on anybody. Personally, I have seen God move in power and heal the sick. Well, how have you seen people heal the sick? I have seen people get out of wheelchairs and be healed of multiple sclerosis. I prayed for eyesight problems in Liverpool some 35 years ago when I was a minister there. And I prayed for people, and 40 people in the church came forward with eyesight problems alone. And we prayed for them. Well, I had this wonderful little lady came up to me saying, "Pastor, Pastor, I've been healed, I've been healed." And she was so excited. And I said, "Oh, that's lovely, love. Calm down." "But Pastor, you don't understand. I've been healed, I can see." "Wonderful. Yeah, but Pastor, this is my glass eye." God takes you by surprise. I prayed for people who have had cancer, stage 4 cancer, metastasized throughout their body. And God has touched them and healed them. There was a lady in Bootle who we knew she'd had cancer and that she was in remission. And the GP was one of the elders in the church. And he said it's very grim. Her prognosis is grim. But she came walking on a stick. She was in a lot of pain. And she insisted, "You are to pray for us. The Bible says, call the elders. I'm calling you now to pray for us." And so we did. We prayed for her earnestly. We prayed that she'd be pain-free. That is something I'll get to, but I don't believe that we should be in pain. One of the things I do as a nurse is to keep people free of pain. And we prayed for this lady. Within a week, she was walking without a walking stick. She claimed a promise from Scripture that, "Lord, you said, I'm only 67. I believe I'm going to live till I'm 70 years of age." And you know, that was 3 years from there. And I was told she was given 3 weeks. But within a week, she was walking without a walking stick. She was free of pain. And she did see her 70th birthday. God touches lives in unexpected ways. Does that make me anything special? No. I just believe that God can heal. Having seen some of the things that are done by spiritualist mediums and others, because I grew up in that environment, I know that He is greater than he that's in the world. And yet, we as Christians meet people in the world and they'll go running to these people for answers, where our answer is in Scripture. You have been given authority in Jesus' name. He has given it to you. It's like the breaking of the loaves of bread and the feeding of the 5,000. You think 12 apostles were given a piece of bread each and told, "Go feed." And you turn around, you've got 1,000 people to go and feed. You look down at the bread and you look at Jesus and going, "This ain't going to work." It only starts to work when they broke the bread and gave it away. There was action involved. Does that make sense? The action is to pray. Because I acknowledge in this that Jesus Christ is the healer. not Clive, not Alex, not any one of us, but Jesus. Healing occurs through the body of Christ, through the Holy Spirit. The second way, as we've seen in Mark 8, is healing takes place over time. And we see that there was a process. When Jesus met the blind man, he spoke to him. He took him aside. He prayed for the eyes. They weren't healed immediately. And he then prayed again. And to me, there is a process in some people's healing. It's no less of a miracle, but sometimes miracles take time. Another healing that occurred in Luke 17, I won't read it but remind you, is of the 10 lepers. He prayed for the 10 lepers, be healed, go show yourselves to the priest. And they weren't healed immediately, but as they went to the priest, on their way, they received healing. So there was a process of time. I prayed for a lady in Exeter who was struggling with her diabetes, and her readings, her HbA1c was quite high, blood readings were quite high, and she was asking God to heal her. Now, I could have given her lots of advice as a nurse, but I prayed. Overnight, from that evening to the next morning, God touched her body. And she got on the scales and had lost 10 pounds in weight. Oh, God. We all want that one. And when she was next tested, her HbA1c, her blood levels were normal, back in range. But that had taken time. Also, I put a little caution here. If God gives us a gift, we've got to look after it. So if God does take some pounds off, we've got to look after it. And not go back to the fridge. Am I catching your attention yet? The third way I believe God heals is through medicine. I believe God has given us doctors and nurses. I am one. And God can work through the surgeon's hands. God can help the nurses to care for you. The parable of the Good Samaritan was what? He found the traveler bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in oil and wine. He ministered and brought healing through medicine and through rest. Oh, some of us don't know how to rest. Some of us get too busy doing stuff. What stuff are we doing that we could actually say, I don't need to do that? What stuff do we need to learn to rest in? Because it's actually not our burden to carry, but his. Do we worry too much? Do we put ourselves in situations we shouldn't be in? I've been working 7 shifts in 7 days. I am tired. It's been way too much. I'm only supposed to be working part-time. But the state of the NHS at the moment is chronic. It's learning to rest, learning to say, Lord, I need your help. So medicines, what kind of things do you see in Scripture? Well, the Jericho Road incident. Timothy was given, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. There was also about, and you can read in the Old Testament, about applying, and the words escape me at the minute, but they applied dressings to wounds, poultice. They used oils, they used herbs. I believe these are things are given by God. Medical science and faith are not mutually exclusive. God can use the nurses and the doctors, for which I am thankful. Okay. Here's a difficult one. God chooses to heal us by giving us grace to endure. Paul, I don't know if it was an illness or not, but he gives us a word of encouragement. He had a thorn in the flesh. Some suggest it was his eyesight. Some suggest it was something else, and there are various debates. I ain't getting into that. And he prayed to the Lord three times to be taken away from him. What was God's response? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I don't always understand why God doesn't take these things away. But he gives us grace to endure. That's what we learn from Job, isn't it? He was tested. He scratched himself with a pot because of the sores on his body. Were they taken away? No. What we learned from him was that he had the grace to endure. He did not give up or curse God and die, as his wife suggested, but he held on to the fact that God is sovereign. We don't have a theology of suffering. We always want it to be victory all the time. But I also know that God wants to develop in us perseverance, endurance, and faith, that you don't lose hope in our living God. Okay. The final point in which God heals is death. You cannot take your sickness to heaven. Can you? Nope. And you think, you're talking about healing, but this doesn't feel good. I'm not feeling encouraged. I don't want to die. I'll give you as a statistic. 100% of us in this room, unless Jesus returns, will die. Oh, Clive, that's so insensitive. Just because some of us are closer than others, you don't need to be so rude. But for a Christian, are you afraid of dying? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We win. Where death is your sting, where death is your victory, as it says in 1 Corinthians, it's about knowing that Jesus wins. In the medical profession, they talk about death as a negative patient outcome. There's a culture that's afraid of death and dying. But this mortal flesh, Paul says, decays every day. Bit sag that I didn't sag. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. We look at this in an alternative way, that Christ is seated in the heavenlies. He is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He is the one who God has raised up and seated him in heavenly places, as it says in Ephesians. The reference is that Christ is praying for us. Many of us pray as if we're trying to get a reluctant God to bless us, to heal us, to do something we wish, or to do what we think is needed. But Jesus hears our prayers. And for some, I have the privilege of looking after people who are dying. And I watch people struggling and fighting to the very end in complete fear. But I have the joy of seeing lovely Christian people dying what they call in my profession a good death. Peaceful. It's almost like they have a smile on their face as they behold Jesus at the end. God can heal you instantly. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes he uses medicine. Sometimes he asks you to endure. But we have nothing to fear in the end. Have I made sense? Yes. Wonderful. I have another 50 points to tell you, but maybe for another time, because I have done seminars in Exeter, Plymouth, and up in Lincolnshire as well, where we spend a whole day talking about the scriptures, talking about how to pray for the sick. I love going into cafes, putting up a banner saying Jesus heals. And you know, people will come over to receive prayer. There's a wonderful group here in Cardiff, and I'm not quite sure, it's gone out of my head, Christella and Ken. They're a wonderful couple. They were using a cafe in the Dragon Centre on a Friday evening with a banner up and praying for the sick. Just stepping out in faith with a group of Christians. And I think they're now using another cafe in the centre of town, but I can't remember which one. People, I don't necessarily need to go out and do it, because Jesus said we can do it here. So after the service, if you want prayer, then there are people available to pray for you. It's nothing to be afraid of, because he wants to bless you, to heal you, to give you strength. One last story, and then I've taken a little bit too much time. There was an evangelist in the 1920s, went to an Indian reservation in the US. And he met a elderly lady. She was 100 years old, bedbound, ready to die. And he prayed for her. Her limbs strengthened and she got out of that bed. Wow, amazing. 100 years old, that qualifies all of us, that God could touch. He went back 10 years later. He found that same little old Indian lady, 110 years old, on fire for God. She'd planted churches. She had brought the message of the gospel to many in her community. And she was still going strong from one touch of Jesus. Oh, that we have just one touch that would sustain us for the rest of our lives. Amen.